When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's hosted by me, Kyle Schoenewill, and him, Robbie Earle. I need a little bit of grace from our audience today. My voice is fairly scratchy. If you notice it being fairly scratchy, that's because I was in Minneapolis at US Bank Stadium for the Minnesota Vikings versus the New York Jets football game, and I screamed my voice out.
Well, Skull Vikes. And in fairness, if you had not screamed it out there, you probably would have worn it out on the hour and a half conversation that we had prepping for today's episode and some really exciting parts of season five. Sorry, phase five, our season four.
That's true. I like episodes like today. I like eras like today. Here's why. I'm very much a box checker, Robbie. And it's almost borderline OCD with a few of those things. And so I kind of love getting to catch our breath, restart a little bit, and then I can go through and check all these little boxes, get all these little things in the row. And that's what today's episode partially is. But also, we had two really dope new trailers come out. So while checking those boxes and grinding for the future, we're coming up on some pretty cool releases next year in the Marvel world.
Yeah, we are. We also just celebrated Thanksgiving, which is a Friends from Work favorite. We haven't really talked to everybody since then. It's crazy how sometimes I feel like a week away is nothing. And sometimes I feel like a week away is like so much happens. And this is one where like in in Friends from Work tradition, I think like no sooner had we said we're going to take a week off than the Guardians trailer, which we thought might not release until like the Super Bowl.
Right.
Releases.
Yeah, of course.
Once again, we are serving all of you by getting you trailers as soon as we announce that we're not recording or as soon as we finish recording.
I have a friend that says typical usual, like, oh, that'd be typical usual Friends from Work. And then you abbreviate it to TUF, typical usual Friends from Work. That's us. How was Northwest Arkansas after all this?
Oh man, it was incredible. It was
actually, wait, hold on. Are you going to Nicaragua?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to tell our audience about this. First of all, Robbie didn't even tell me that. His wife did. And on top of that, in the next, let's see, 6 weeks, you will be in Nicaragua.
Yep.
London?
Yeah, I think so.
And a Colorado ski trip?
Yeah. Dude, it's...
what the heck?
It's unreasonable.
It's just happening to you at this point.
The way that this happened is we had a, I don't know if people are familiar with this. If they're not, I'm giving you a valuable piece of intel if you're a skier, but these, they have these epic passes. They have different versions of them that have different names. But the beauty of it is you basically pay ahead of time for lift tickets and sometimes more depending on what kind of package you get at like a number of resorts. And this one has a ton kind of all over the country and I think some even internationally. But you don't have to lock down a time. So you can lock down a really good price early on if you know, hey, we want to try to go skiing, but we don't know when or even where. So we did that like a ways back with one of my best friends because we had been trying to get a ski trip together forever. We used to go when we were younger. And so we finally settled on a date right around the time that Candace's work retreat was set, which just happens to be a trip to Nicaragua that I get to come along on, which is ridiculous, which happened to also coincide with this work trip I have to London right at the start of January. So it's going to be this like triple back-to-back travel within Christmas, the normal Christmas, four Christmases tour thrown in into the mix. So
it's unreal.
It is not going to be boring over here.
No, no. Or over here. Or at Friends From Work. That's for sure. Can
that's
I share
true.
Something cool that happened to me? You know, I have a band of a few lifelong friends. And we found out we got a pretty cool placement. This is super random, but I've never had this kind of placement. A song we made is inside a video game. It's a video game called Life is Strange. But listen to this.
Oh,
it's not
dude,
like,
yeah.
Do you know the game?
I know that game.
Okay, listen to this. I just found this out. It's not in the game like the soundtrack, but in apparently one of the areas of the open world game. I think it's open world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's right.
You can go to a bar and there's a jukebox. And if you hit the jukebox, it's our song. How funny is that?
Dude, that is cool.
So it's not just a normal placement. It's a placement that the characters interact with, which is kind of funny.
That's like that would make a great two truths and a lie option.
That's so true.
If you ever
I have a song
in
inside a video game in a jukebox. So that's
man,
funny.
That's great. I don't think it comes up more. Is that it? So is it a Midnight Pilot song?
Mm-hmm.
It comes up more on the show that I did music in part because my name is attached to the music that I made.
Sure.
But one of my favorite things, Kyle and I have been playing music forever. I say forever, for like 2 years before I really heard his band's other music. So he had like heard all of the stuff that I worked on and played with me. And I legitimately, it was funny, Kyle, I was looking back through these old playlists that I had made. I'm a serial playlist maker. Hmm. And I looked back at some from like 2012 to 2015 era. And I would consistently have Midnight Pilot tracks on those playlists.
Thank you.
It's like, I still think y'all's music is so good. So if people haven't heard it, it's Midnight Pilot and it's from Life is Strange fame.
Yeah. That and a Maxim video. So we were in a Maxim ad. So you choose which one you want.
There you go.
The places this music goes, you'll never believe it.
Well, you know, maybe it was funny. We were thinking that we were, you know, getting a bit out of our normal territory whenever we made an appearance last week on Rogue Theory, the new Rockstars podcast. But now knowing that, you know, you've got this past association with Maxim, now I'm thinking that was right up your alley, Kyle.
Well, there was a stretch where we had a song in a Maxim ad and a Barack Obama wedding anniversary video.
Whoa.
And there was one other. And at the time it was like, you're hitting like five hot button topics at once without trying to. What else was the other one?
Like a video that Obama made?
It's a Michelle and Barack Obama 25th wedding anniversary video. And we have a song in that. You can find it on YouTube still.
Wow. That's wild. I did not know that.
I know, but this is all happening via a database. So I don't pre-know about it or pre-clear it.
Mm.
Well, I guess, let me rephrase that. I guess I do pre-clear it. for any usage. And so then literally a contact sent me the Maxim video. I did not stumble upon it. Okay. And I was like, how did you find this? So there you go. That's, anyways, we're off the rails already.
Well, before, I guess while we're off the rails, before we get back on the rails, one fun kind of Thanksgiving event for us, Candace and I got a chance to just barely, before it left theaters, catch the new Knives Out movie.
Glass Onion.
The Glass Onion film, which...
And?
Oh, man, I loved it. I thought it was great. We were really excited. We saw... I remember I had such a great movie theater experience seeing the first Knives Out. We were also in London at the time. And this one, was less so weather-wise, which people would know if they've seen the trailers and the photos and whatnot. But it still is such a kind of perfect Thanksgiving movie.
Oh, like and family, that, everyone's together.
Yeah, just like the dynamics of everyone being in a house. And, sure. And so there's that... I was a little bummed that, like, as much as I always say I love to go see things in theaters, and I am really glad that Candace and I got to see it in theaters, I was a little bummed that it wasn't available on Netflix on Thanksgiving because I knew it had released and was kind of, it would have been a perfect, like, winding down after the meal movie.
Kind of an odd release.
It was an odd release because it was like, it's whenever everybody's traveling. And
I wouldn't think that Thanksgiving is like a super movie watching holiday.
Yeah, or at least have it out 2 weeks. You know, it was strange they had it for just, for people that don't know, it was a 1 week limited theatrical release.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then they pulled it. So it's not available again until it releases on Netflix a couple weeks from now. Hmm. So it's kind of a weird, like, we didn't get to see it early or anything. We just saw it in this weird, very small theatrical release. And I don't think it's going back into theaters as of now, you know,
just
unless
Netflix?
It has, I think it's just going straight to Netflix from here on out. But in terms of the content, I had seen a couple of reviews ahead of time before we got there, and it had all looked like glowing reactions. And yeah, I mean, I think it is to me about as great of a sequel to a movie like that as I could imagine. I think that it's really hard because so much of the first one depended on, you know, those unique dynamics. And then you get into that thing we always talk about with the second of anything, which is like, you're still so much in the shadow of the first one. It's like, how much can you depart from that? Mm. You know, like how much do you need to come up with new stuff? How much do you need to stick with the DNA of what you put out in the first film? And I think that's how you wind up so often with movies that people feel like are like copy and paste of the first one, or that people think are like messy because it's trying to do too much or go in some crazy direction. And I just thought, you know, I've got at this point so much faith in Rian Johnson because I thought he handled that transition so well to where I was able to kind of on the ride home with Candace already think of ways that he could start playing with the formula moving forward. But it also didn't feel stale. Like, I feel like we're now getting a picture of what these can look like. Daniel Craig and that character, I think, is so fun. And the cast in general has, like, the first movie was such a showcase for the cast and how charismatic all those actors are. And this is every bit that with, I mean, as you can see, if you just look at the IMDb page for the movie. So it's, I think you'll really enjoy it.
I know I'll like it. And it does seem like a series that sits in this rare space. And again, I know nothing about this one, but where it could keep going. They could make 20 of these and you don't have to tie all the characters together. Like, you're not watching that movie for the threat if Daniel Craig's going to die or what happens when he's too old and has to like bring a child along, or, you know what I mean? You can just make them all standalone stories and still just be fun because of the nature of the genre, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's exactly right. And that's, I mean, it feels like a modern day, like Agatha Christie serial series, where it's like, which is, you know, funny because we are also getting those from Kenneth Branagh right now. And I'm just way less interested in them than Ryan sure. Johnson's take. But
you are so harsh on those movies.
I know.
Murder on the Orient Express is not bad. You think it's the worst thing you've ever seen, but it's not that bad.
I don't think it's the worst. I think I'm hard on them because one, I'm normally referring more to Murder on the Nile. Is that what it's called?
Death on the Nile. Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay, I was like, they can't both be murders.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they are, but yes.
Right. But I think I'm harder on that one than the former. I think the other reason why I call out Kenneth Branagh is just because of this big push post Love and Thunder
which we've talked about
ad nauseum. But yeah, because I'm just like, look, it's not as though he and Marvel split ways and then now Kenneth Branagh is just making masterpiece after masterpiece.
No, Kenneth, come back to us.
But I...
Tell me.
I did want to say last thing
Do
on,
not mistake my appetite for apathy.
We now have our manager Pete quoting that, which makes me feel like if the podcast ended now...
If nothing else happened, mission accomplished. Yep. We've done our work here.
Man, the other thing that I was gonna before I go down another rabbit trail, just in closing on Knives Out, I was astounded at how timely it is, and I don't want to say anything else on that point.
Please, don't.
Other than just you Stop. Will be like, it's just the timing of it is insane. I don't know if it's Ryan Johnson being. You know, we talked about some of this with the She-Hulk creators. Like, how do you kind of predict how certain things are going to go when you're writing something so far ahead of time? Mm-hmm. And, you know, their response was, well, you know, certain people aren't that hard to predict.
Say no more.
And I think, yeah, like, again, it's not giving anything away. I'm so curious to hear people's thoughts and your thoughts because it's like, dude, this guy is either crazy prescient or just like, lucked out in a huge way, but it's funny and poignant in the right ways and in different ways than the first. I think it's fantastic. I think I would highly recommend it. I think most of the folks that enjoy our show would be inclined to really enjoy this movie. So that is my brief Knives Out Glass Onion review.
So here's how we want to spend the rest of today. This is a little bit of a catch me up type episode. We have some important updates here on Friends from Work that we want to share, along with how that ties into our schedule for the rest of this year and then the beginning of next year. Mm-hmm. We are calling this Friends from Work Season 4. If you like search it on Apple, it will be Season 4 of Friends from Work starting in January. And it will be covering Phase 5 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and as we'll get to in a second, a few other things. So,
at some point, we'll sync up seasons and phases, I think, but...
Well, it will, right? Because that's the thing, is the phase is more than 1 year. So, right. In 2024, we'll be in Season 5, and it'll be
We're coming five. For you, Feige.
But then we'll pass them.
Yeah, exactly. We're really coming for you.
Yeah, we're coming for you. Okay, so... I just want to share a few things that we're working on behind the scenes as little teasers to improvements to Friends from Work in Season 4, Phase 5 in 2023. So it's 3, 4, and 5. Dang it.
That's true. That's
we funny. Really should have thought about that ahead of time. Okay, so first of all, there will be no guarantees here. I reserve the right to say these are trial things, and if it's not going well, I pull the plug. Okay?
Yep.
First off, we're excited to announce that we are going to be putting a little more effort into our YouTube side of things and just in general, the video side of this. So since we started the podcast in 2019, it has been almost exclusively an audio only podcast, but Robbie and I have been dialing in our video setups a little bit and tweaking our process to make it possible. So at minimum, we're going to try to get some more social media clips out there of video things. I think there are times, obviously it's an audio podcast and that's where the emphasis lies, but I think there are times that it's fun to maybe see our reactions, or you and I can show off our merch like this a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are advantages to video. Clips, trailers on the video itself. A lot of ways we could utilize that side of things. So that's exciting. I'm behind the scenes very excited about that. My goal is that starting in January, every podcast episode, virtually unedited, the raw version of it will be on YouTube. So your podcast in Apple or in Spotify is not changing. That'll be a more tightened version of the episode, and it will be releasing on Thursdays just like it is now. But I also hope to have a slightly longer, less filtered, not filtered, but edited version on YouTube if that interests you. It's especially going to be fun when we work in more of these interviews, because I think there are times that the interviews would really shine if you watched them versus just listened to them. So that's the first update, more from the video side of Friends from Work. Secondly, we are wanting to add a few things to Friends from Work on the content side. So nothing is changing on the Marvel front. We are going to be covering all the Marvel shows and all the Marvel releases as we do now weekly. But don't be alarmed if you hear a little talk on a few other topics as well. Just slowly sneak in there. What does this mean? Well, we dipped our toe into these waters with our coverage of the Batman, and that was on the main feed. There might be more things like that. If there's a movie that Robbie and I are both passionate about, maybe Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan's new film that comes out next year, I think you're going to hear a little talk of that here on Friends from Work, as well as, you know, a show like Severance, Robbie and I both like. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be weekly covering that, but just be prepared that you might get a little extra stuff this year. Your thoughts, Robbie?
I think we should be honest with people that this is really just so that we can cover the Mario movie.
That's it. We're just prepping you.
We're transitioning into a Super Mario Brothers podcast. Yeah. Friends from Wario.
By 2024, there will be no Marvel talk. It'll just be me talking as Luigi and you as Mario.
A Mario
podcast done by the Mario Brothers, apparently.
Yeah, no, that's that we're going to be in character. It's going to be real. I mean, we're talking layers here.
Right.
I will say, as an aside, I have enjoyed following Matt Remke's pro Mario Twitter presence in recent weeks. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
We need that positivity in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Someone who's willing to die on the Mario Brothers hill.
Yeah. Come on, Matt. Friend of the pod anyways, but now he's a super friend. Anyway, I'm super excited for this next season in so many ways because I think on the one hand, we're expanding the main feed in ways that we've always wanted to, but that we weren't quite sure what that would look like. And I think now that we're a little over a year into Friends from Work Plus, I'm personally realizing what I really love about that platform and kind of what I really love about the main feed. And I think it's for both of us sort of crystallizing what those can each be. And mainly, I think we found that what we love the most about Friends from Work Plus is the ability that offers us to engage with our patrons and supporters there.
Yes, correct.
And so that's why like the Comics Corner has been so fun, the movie clubs have been so fun, and recently some of these AMA type episodes, the friendlies, like all of that is I think by far the most enjoyable part of that. And so I think what's really fun about kind of looking ahead in season 4 is on the one hand we're sort of expanding what we can do on the main feed, and we're sort of deepening what we're doing on the Friends from Work Plus side. Mm. So I think that based on the feedback I've gotten from our patrons there, I think folks are going to see it. I see it as the best of both worlds, and I think that the average friend from work will see it that way as well.
We really enjoyed that AMA we really enjoy the interaction with you all out there. So I think we're going to try to bump up and ramp up how many times we do those kind of things, just so that we can constantly stay in touch with people on the Friends from Work Plus side. And we may even push some of the really deeper dives into the MCU over to Friends from Work Plus, so that that even makes sense, right? It's a deeper look into the Marvel Cinematic Universe in this, but hopefully clearing up just a little bit of space on the main feed to dive into things like Nolan movies, Mission Impossible, a DC project we like, a show that's really hot that both of us are into, a Star Wars commentary. Just, we're, again, it's still going to be a Marvel podcast, but just kind of working some of those things in there. And I think that's a win-win in my opinion. So I'm like, I'm very excited about that. Robbie and I both are. We've talked about it offline a lot. So video and the excitement of just slightly tweaking how that content works on both the Friends from Work Plus and regular feed side of things.
And as a final bookend to that, we have one thing in the works coming up this next year that we can't get into yet, but that we've been talking about for months now, and I've probably made vague references to, that would be a totally new thing for Friends from Work. And it's something that I'm getting progressively more excited about. It's still, there are parts of it that are up in the air. We haven't quite locked down what that will look like. But that's another, you know, as we get into the coming months, we'll start, I think, dropping some more news about that. But if you're looking for one more reason to be excited about season four of Friends from Work, there's a mystery one coming.
So I think I can also say we are going to be expanding our coverage around these actual MCU releases of the major films. So right now we kind of do occasionally we'll catch you up in a saga so far. Then we'll maybe do a spoiler-free preview and initial reactions and a ranking. We're going to kind of make that a more rhythmic thing where we always do a saga so far before the episode comes out. Then we'll give you a spoiler-free preview because now we have the chance and the ability to see these ahead of time. So we'll give that for sure. Then our initial reactions, which hopefully was recorded together in the same location most of the time. And then a couple other follow-up episodes. So instead of just jumping back in with one ranking, having a follow-up episode or two, and that's really exciting because I think there's been a few projects where we wish that the life of us talking about it was longer on this podcast. And I think this is a good way to do that. So that'll be another fun development. Not to mention, and I won't say the name yet, but we're 90% confirmed with a pretty dope comics interview coming up really soon.
Yeah.
So this would be one of our biggest interviews yet. And we're excited about that too. So while doing all those things, trying to ramp up the interview game and trying to stay in touch with people in LA and get out to some of these world premieres a little more frequently. So again, this is only the tip of the iceberg. A lot of things I'm excited about in, let's see, 2023, season four, phase five.
There you go. Yeah. I think it sounds cheesy and maybe we've said this too many times, but as you and I were talking about this, it really is just, it's clear to me that what is so fun about this podcast for us is the community aspect. And so I think everything we're doing, everything we're working on next year and hopefully moving forward is aimed at that, whether that's on the Friends from Work Plus side, like we talked about with that, like, really special kind of engagement that we love there, or whether we're talking about creating more opportunities on the main feed and hopefully expanding the community on that front. So I just, it's making me, maybe it's fitting because we're getting into holiday territory. And so I'm just generally feeling warm hearted and
thankful
But I'm getting very excited and I am very grateful at this exact juncture. It's like, we're looking back at what y'all have helped us create here. And we're looking ahead at stuff that has just gotten us, I think, about as excited as we've been, at least in a long time.
Ditto. Okay, so here's how we're going to finish out the rest of today's episode. We had two brand new trailers come out, one for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and one for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. So we're going to get into those, plus a little bit of MCU news, and then a massive update on my rewatch / trivia towards the end of this episode. I think I'm going to finally reveal where my critic and preference rankings currently sit, wow, knowing that I'm not all the way through, sure, but that's where I'm at. I'm going to give one update on where I'm at so far. So stay tuned after a quick word from these sponsors.
Quite a while. But no matter what happens next, the galaxy still needs its guardians.
Hello, we come in peace. Come on, Drax. Seriously, dude?
No, dude, no, no!
Ow!
Hey!
Don't forget where we came from.
We have been running our whole lives.
Pete, I'm done running. Fly away together. One last time. Into the forever. That beautiful sky.
I have chills.
We are
kill anyone.
Kill a few people.
Kill no people.
Kill one guy, one stupid guy who no one loves.
Now you're just making it sad.
Okay, first of all, let's freaking go.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That last line as a side note is one of the funniest lines Drax ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, like that already would be in a top five for me. I love that. We're going to kill so many people. No, we're not. We're just going to kill a few people. No, we're going to kill one stupid, sorry man.
Who no one loves.
I tweeted that in quotes the other day. Who no one loves.
Man, what a trailer. What a great trailer. James Gunn delivering first with the song placement, which is a song I've never heard the song, but it's In the Meantime by Space Hog. Were you familiar with the song?
I recognize the melody, but I could never have told you that was the title of it.
It's so, man, it's just he is the best in the biz when it comes to song selection for the stuff. It's wild. There's so much here. I feel like everybody reacted pretty viscerally to this one. Not, I don't mean to say it was like polarizing because I don't think it was, but I think it's like, it's a pretty emotional trailer, especially given what we've kind of been told. This is going to be, at least for James Gunn, if not for the characters. But
this also keeps the trend of the trailers just being better going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny. So funny. You can tell that humor that I like is back.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, clearly the focus on the emotional side of it is massive.
So,
dude, this has been this era. This has been phase four and now the beginning of phase five. Like, they have still made project after project about our main characters dealing with the fallout of the consequences from the end of phase three.
Yeah.
And we're just like checking in with different groups of them. Like, how is it affecting the Guardians? How is it affecting, you know, and now with Gamora or whatever's going on here, clearly mm-hmm. a very emotional movie. There's a shot in that trailer of Quill like screaming.
Yeah. Like, which crying. Is so good.
So something's going down.
Man, I will say, like, I feel like Chris Pratt has become like kind of a meme for certain people. And I think it's in part because he's done a lot of sort of forgettable action movies in the year since he kind of debuted that side of himself in Guardians. But he continues to knock it out of the park as Peter Quill. And I've seen James Gunn come to his defense like over and over again. Not that there have been there have been little minor scandals that we don't have to get into, but like more just whenever people make fun of Chris Pratt, I see James Gunn be like, no, like you don't understand how good of an actor this guy is. Hmm. And you see, like, even in this trailer, he's like, I think people sleep on what Chris Pratt adds to this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is,
you know, I think that
I know, but it's, you know, it has to be said,
quickly. I have chills right now thinking about it. So.
I kind of noted on my last watch some things that I wanted to tick through with you.
Please do.
First. So in that first shot, when they're coming off and, you know, before they start hitting each other with the balls, so it looks like they're in some kind of like combination Ravager Nova Corps type outfit. Does that look right to you or sound right to you?
It does. And I saw online that it looks like a recreation of some comic. Maybe you know that. There's a shot of them in the uniform walking around.
Yeah. Actually, I want to say that's the Al Ewing Guardians of the Galaxy, which...
That's cool.
Which is fun, but it may be the earlier. Anyway,
it's very Star Trek-y.
It is, you know? Yeah. And I think that it's interesting looking back on you know what we said about the holiday special as kind of a bridge where James Gunn could deal with certain plot elements, get things in the right position, and then move from there. I don't know how much that changed his plans for the third movie being able to do that, but I do love that we're now just picking up with them in this new role that kind of makes sense now that we've seen the holiday special. Like, we know that they're now the owners of Nowhere, and I guess kind of based there as the Guardians in this very literal way, where they're not just kind of traveling around the galaxy and helping out people that have distress calls, but they're actually kind of taking it upon themselves to watch over everything and to kind of be the new Nova Corps since Thanos sort of decimated the prior Nova Corps.
Mm. I was thinking about that when you were saying that. You said it looks like a uniform from there, but obviously he decimated Xandar. So I wonder where they got that from then, like those uniforms. And did some people survive that on an escape ship or something?
Hmm. Well, it has the Ravager symbol patch thing on it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I'm just thinking that's only a sentence that's been just kind of uttered in passing, but we never saw that or saw any consequences since then. That could be interesting, by the way.
Yeah, and I have to think that James Gunn will set this up so that you could have not seen the holiday special and jump right back in mm-hmm. into Guardians 3. So in retrospect makes the decision to not do anything with Gamora in the holiday special make more sense. Sure. Because I've already noticed some reactions online from people that are not as clued into the MCU that are confused about why that character is even showing up in Guardians 3 based on kind of where she was left. Gamora. So I think that, yeah. So I think they will do some more cleanup there. And I bet explain their new role. Though I do appreciate James Gunn using the real estate that he had with that holiday special so effectively.
Mm-hmm. Point number two.
Yeah. So speaking of using the holiday special so effectively, I feel like I think we're going to get some really good Mantis stuff in this movie. And a couple of the like quick shots we get of her just seem more serious. And Gunn has been in his recent interviews around this and the holiday special really been talking up how much the Mantis and Drax characters have kind of been slept on in the non-Guardians entries or their appearances in the MCU, which I think is, I see what he's saying. I don't know that that was a flaw of those other movies. Sure. You know, like, I don't know how much, there was so much being juggled. We still got good interactions. I know Dave Bautista felt like he was sidelined some, but I think that given the task, those movies did a good job, but it does seem like now James Gunn is intent on elevating those characters in particular, based not just on the special, but on what we're going to get here.
Agreed. And in that way, I guess the special is a good intro for that, an introduction of what this could look like for them. And to your point, to the extent that Dave Bautista felt that way, a little bit of James Gunn fixing that for them.
Yeah.
You know, intentionally.
Yeah. And, I was thinking about that on the Dave Bautista front.
Again, that joke about him killing a guy, that is a little bit of what Dave was talking about. Like, that feels like a fixing. Yeah. That is a Guardians 1 joke. I can't always put my finger on what the difference is between the two, but that just feels like it fits with Drax better.
Yeah. It goes back to that final scene in the first Guardians film. I just have been thinking about this some as we're gearing up for Volume 3, which I'm getting more and more excited about. And I saw another interview. I think it was older, but just, you know, he's made those comments several times, Dave Bautista. And at one point he said he understood why Marvel did what they did, which is what I was saying earlier, but that he felt they dropped the ball with his character. And I kind of agree to the extent that, like you and I have talked about, there is a really moving backstory there that we haven't gotten much of since the first film. However, I kind of think that that's on James Gunn as much as anybody. You know,
I've said before.
Yeah, that's what's strange. Is like it comes off as a...
Yeah, oh, you know, I guarantee the MCU. You, it's not like Brad or Victoria came in and said, no, Drax has to be dumb and make turd jokes. And
right.
That's not what happened.
Well, you know, Victoria's huge into the turd jokes, though.
Yeah. So. Victoria, you know.
I think that's just, it's easy to paint the picture of, well, James Gunn is this sort of auteur and he had this vision and then like corporatified or something. And they turned it into something totally different. But for that to be the case, I think we would have had a Volume 2 from James Gunn that was really focused on Drax, and then Infinity War and Endgame and Love and Thunder make him total comic relief. But that's not what happened. They were just picking up with the character where Gunn had kind of left it after Volume 2. So I find it to be kind of weird because Bautista and Gunn are always in the same corner on this.
Yeah, but you're like, dude, you're in bed with the bad guy.
Right.
He's the one that did it to you.
He wrote the movie, you know? yeah. But anyway, those characters aside, the character I really wanted to talk about here briefly is Rocket, man, because... Mm-hmm.
The movie's going to be about Rocket, I think, almost more than anyone else. Have you heard a lot about Rocket from James Gunn? Because I have a little insight here, too.
I don't think I have.
James Gunn always just talks about how Rocket is the character most similar to himself. Like, he sees himself in Rocket. And so he cares a lot about where that character is going, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so I've heard that this is kind of like I don't want to say finale, because I'm not saying Rocket's going to die, but like this is the ending of the James Gunn Guardians story, because it's the ending for Rocket, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
ironically, of a lot of the characters, and we don't need to get into this right now, but Rocket would be one that I think could actually continue in his role and work with the Avengers like we saw in Endgame. So I'm not saying he'll die, but James Gunn just said like that feels like it's his character. Like that's the most personal one to him. So I do think there's going to be an emotional tie to his story. Obviously when we get the, you know, we get the shot of him as a baby and we know that he was tortured. Right. So like, we don't know what went down there. I think we'll learn more about that. And then obviously the lines he has in this trailer, his voice like mine is almost like cracking up. Like, like he's saying it choked up basically.
Which I'm glad you said that, because one takeaway for me is just how about Bradley Cooper just quietly killing it in the background.
I know. We never talk about it. Not just us, but nobody collectively. Yeah. Like, it's voice acting, so it's different. But now, I don't want to hear anyone else at this point.
Yeah.
With this character.
And it's funny, because whenever I've seen, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy game, whenever I've seen cartoon shows, everyone's just now doing a Bradley Cooper impression, even if it's not supposed to be an MCU thing. You know, it's like, it's so... It's like people post Iron Man now. You won't find a Marvel video game or TV show or even some comics that aren't trying to replicate the Robert Downey Jr. thing. Right. Bradley Cooper has 100% done that for Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
No
doubt.
It's wild because I think because it's voice acting, like we're so used to on these press tours seeing the live actors everywhere, but we never really hear from Bradley Cooper about his part in this movie. So I think that's what's so weird, is it's like you would almost be tempted to be like, he just doesn't care that much. You know, he's phoning it in. And then you watch the performance listen to the performance and it's...
Well, or watch it. You can go on YouTube and see the inside the tracking room shots, and it's pretty cool. Like he's doing the full get out of here with the guns and stuff. So if any of our listeners haven't seen that, Google that. Like you can find him actually doing it in the booth. Secondly, you know, I'm nerd about this. Every time I search Bradley Cooper on a talk show, a late night show or whatever, talking about this, he's very proud of it, which makes me so happy. That's like the threshold for me, is like, don't try to like make it seem like it's a dumb thing. He doesn't. He does put his all into it. And so, yeah, I love it.
Well, and to your point, he is the character that had the largest role in some ways in Infinity War, just because he had such memorable interactions with Thor, but also in Endgame. I mean, he had really big moments with Thor again, but also with some of the other Avengers. So it's like, it's crazy that going all the way back to what you and I have talked about over and over again with that first time you saw the Guardians trailer and you were like, talking raccoon, I'm not interested in that. It's crazy that we've gone from that, where I think a lot of people would have agreed with you, like that's ridiculous, to this character that has been able to create some of the more moving moments in this franchise. I do wonder, on the conjecture point, do you think there's a chance that we're getting Joss Whedon tier, which is to say, do you think that it's a Rocket as Hawkeye in Age of Ultron thing, where we're going to be told over and over again that Rocket's going to die, and then it's a bait and switch? Or do you think there's actually, like, if you had to predict right now, do you think we're heading towards a moving Rocket death scene in this film?
I'm really thinking about this, right? Because, yep, they're setting us up that the obvious answer is he would die. I do think one or two are going to die. One or two have to die, I think.
Yeah.
It won't be Gamora, because we did that already. I could see something like Rocket and Drax, or Rocket and Nebula dying. Something like that, I could see.
Yeah,
If I have to go on the record, I'll say, yes, Rocket will die. But I don't know. I don't know. Don't quote me.
Yeah, I feel like the beauty of this movie and just kind of where the MCU is in general right now is because we're out of the Infinity Saga, and I know we're heading towards something else, but the Infinity Saga way more in this, we'll talk about all of this a little bit more at the end of this episode, but the Infinity Saga, more than anything we've had so far, there was a point at which it's like, okay, we're moving in this direction, and that's why we've talked about how Guardians 2 felt like it stepped out of that momentum because we wanted, at the time, thought that it would be giving us more Thanos, moving more towards Infinity War. But even without that happening, it was like we knew that all of these characters were going to need to interact at some point. And so the stakes were not quite as high as I feel like they are now, where we know nothing really about the future.
I think we're back to anything can happen.
Yep. Yeah. And I think Gunn is a director that will let anything happen.
Wants to live in that zone.
Yeah. And I think he really views this as his own story, rightly so. And I think that the other creators in the MCU have gotten to play with these characters to great effect. But it feels like watching this that he's really wanting to come back to the story he started in 2014. Mm-hmm. And even just the opening lines from Peter, like I don't know how much I need to find out how much Gunn consulted on the appearances and Love and Thunder, but between that and the holiday special and this, all of my Star-Lord concerns that I've voiced in the past are really eased. Like, I feel like he's really moved back into a spot mm-hmm. of being the heart of the team and the leader mm-hmm. of the team. And I like that. Like, he's not, we don't really see any moments of him other than when he gets the ball thrown at him where he's like the butt of the joke, like we always talk about. Mm-hmm. It feels like we have come, as the third movie in a trilogy should, I think, kind of full circle back to so much of what we all loved about that first film, even down to the way this looks like it's going to be shot. I mean, like some of the mm-hmm. shots we get in this trailer are stunning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's totally fitting with what made that movie so fresh back in 2014. It's just like, it feels a step above a lot of what we get. And that's not an insult to Marvel Studios films in general. I just feel like Gunn really has an eye for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. If you want to know how I feel about it, go back and listen to 2 weeks ago episode on the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, because yeah, I brought that up too. I just think has a very good eye for that.
The other kind of minor things, just there's not a ton to talk about, but we got brief looks at Adam Warlock, who looks mm-hmm. great, I think, mm-hmm. and a brief look at the High Evolutionary, who mm-hmm. looks great. And if people are curious about the High Evolutionary, we'll be talking about comics on that front before too long. But also, if you haven't yet, I would recommend Peacemaker on HBO, which features him in the cast as well as John Cena and other folks. I think there are a couple crossovers between that, but I'm going to have to think who I'm missing. But I'm just from the shots we got, very excited about both of those. Mm-hmm. And a little brief appearance of our Guardians 2 intro monster, even.
Also, I remember Will Poulter from Maze Runner. So the fact that he's now like 6'6" and jacked or something, like he looks
Wait, is he 6'6"? Huge.
He's got to be huge. I saw him on stage. I'm going to Google it right now while you continue talking.
Oh, that's crazy.
He's jacked. His arms are like cars.
I know Will Poulter weirdly primarily from Midsommar.
Low-key, Maze Runner slaps.
Really? Continue. I've never seen Maze Runner.
You've never seen Maze Runner, the first one? Just the first one?
No.
Oh, it's kind of fun. It's one of those you have no idea what's going on kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
For real.
I totally missed that. I don't even think I made an active choice to not watch it. I just never.
No. I don't know if it's your thing, but I think it low-key slaps. I'm going to look up the Rotten Tomatoes score as well to that. Keep going.
Okay, cool, cool. I feel like I should make you predict it because that's you're normally good at predicting Rotten
Tomatoes. The Rotten Tomatoes score? 73.
Okay, okay.
Oh, he's 6'2". He looks taller than that.
Wow.
Actors are short, apparently.
I've got an inch on him.
But you do not have the muscles he has.
That is very true. That's what I always say. That's why I like... That's why I like Epicuro Shop, because their clothes fit a Captain America tall, but a pre-Super Soldier formula skinny.
It's true. Man. I actually love all my Epicuro Shop shirts. They fit me great.
It's really, it's, I don't know how they do that. I'm not even, this isn't like a talking point they gave us. It's just, it's kind of crazy how they always fit really perfectly.
I went one size up on my last two, but it doesn't become like really baggy. Like it's still like very slim fitting and comfortable. Like, you know, it's not too tight where it's uncomfortable, and it's not so baggy that you look like you're totally dressed down. It's like a perfect fitting, cool t-shirt. So epicuroshop.com. Yeah. There you go.
Come on.
Friends from work, promo code.
But I have always been, there was also an episode of Black Mirror that, Will Poulter was in that I was, he's always really impressed me. And I was really excited about that casting. I didn't even realize he was in Maze Runner. Also,
okay, ready? 65%.
Wow. Okay.
So I was 7% off. That's pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty close. That's pretty close. I also want to say, in case you're listening to this and hear sometimes, which I love, people take our recommendations on things. And sometimes people have taken our recommendations and I don't think realized what they were getting into, specifically mine or Candace's on the plus side. So I recommend Will Poulter's performance in Midsommar. Know that Midsommar is like one of the more disturbing movies that you could ever watch.
Do not
take this as a, oh yeah, we should throw this on. Robbie on Friends from Work said that it was a good time. It is a great movie, but it's not a good time.
Like Greg in our Slack said, we're becoming Friends from Work after dark. Unintentional here, Robbie. Careful. By the way, that is so funny. I want to do an episode at some point where you just name movies and I try to guess the score and see how close I can get.
We should do that.
There's a science behind this, you know? It's like, it's a movie with some kids and it's a little bit younger feeling. So then I thought critics aren't going to like that. So that moves it down to like 40 or 50, but then critics would be really surprised at how well it's done for a younger cast. So that's going to bump it up. And then I thought, but there's no way that critics could ever give a movie based off like a child's novel, I think it is, higher than 75. So I went 73. So that, you know, there's a science here. That's all.
I see that. I see your methodology and I respect it.
Also, as much as I love this, we do need to get into the Ant-Man trailer and a rewatch update still. So
we do.
Move along, as Star Wars would say. Move along.
That's actually perfect because I think we hit the end of my notes.
Good.
And you just queued us up.
Perfect.
Because, yes, along with this Guardians 3 trailer, we got, it's not exactly an Ant-Man trailer, but it was a special look, I think is what they called it, from Brazil Comic Con.
Yeah, it almost felt like a Legends episode, recapping. Yeah.
Mixed with like a bit, I think there was a bit of new footage
at the very end. And here it is.
Scott, I need you to be the Ant-Man. You have a chance to earn that look in your daughter's eyes. To become the hero that she already thinks you are. Second chances don't come around all that much.
An old message.
It's the front gate.
I love that part.
Time works differently in the quantum realm.
I have chills.
What if we could enter at a certain point in time, but then exit at another point in time? We could bring everyone back.
My whole life happened because I messed up. Not everybody gets a chance to save the world.
Avengers! Assemble.
Oh, you know I love this.
Holding on to. I know how it ends. You're out of your league, Ant-Man.
Let's freaking go again,
dude.
Here's the thing. Chills multiple times during that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's actually a ton for us to say on this. You can go back to our episode where we broke down the first trailer and got way into it, just because there's very, very little new.
Where that I misspoke in the first trailer and named the wrong Elton John song, which has haunted me.
You did. That's his fault. But you know I love this vibe. There's something about the Legends type, like recapping with a different effect on the vocal or the voiceover. I love it. It brings back the cool moments that you remember, chills during the endgame moments. Like, let's go.
Dude, you're right. I mean, we also don't have a ton of time here, so I'm staying aware of that. But I did want to say, like, what was so fun for me about this is I have recently started what I call realistic rewatch for me, which is I'm trying to watch. I think I'm trying to watch as much of Phase 4 as I can before this movie comes out.
Okay.
But I also wanted to, in prep for that, watch the Scott Lang appearances. And so Greg, I think, has been doing an Ant-Man and the Wasp kickoff to kind of a Phase 4 rewatch, because that way you get that and then the big movies that sort of become the catalyst for so much of Phase 4. But I really wanted to kind of go all the way back. And so I started with the first Ant-Man and then Civil War, and then we'll do Ant-Man and the Wasp and kind of go from there. And
which is also perfect, because that's where I am right now. I just finished Ant-Man and the Wasp. So,
oh, I love that. Well, so and this is such a, it was a perfect companion to that, because I feel like I kind of need to not walk back my views on the Ant-Man films, but I think maybe reframe them, because in the context of the MCU, I always feel like the Ant-Man movies are really fun, but they're kind of like, I don't view them as core in the same way, you know, like I just
serious
don't,
contenders.
Yeah. Like stuff. I'm not going to put those in the same conversation as like Thor Ragnarok or Civil War or Winter Soldier. But there's something about starting with the first Ant-Man movie as sort of the beginning of its own universe and looking at that as an entry point that I've just loved, because it makes me realize, like, when you get the rest of the MCU kind of out of it and you start there and build from that point the same way you would if you started with like Iron Man, then I think I've just realized how great of a character Scott Lang actually is and how much is going on, and how much, like, when you're not thinking of just his contributions to the Infinity Saga, but his own story, how great of a job they've done telling that with him, like, starting as an ex-con and then where that goes with him having to, like, the way that they frame it in the special I loved, because they put the Hank Pym quote over, you know, be the hero that she already thinks you are, line to the footage of him in Civil War, which then leads to him being back in prison. So it's such a, they've really created this kind of complex, compelling, relatable character that's trying to do the right thing. And in doing the right thing, keeps winding up in the wrong place. And it's like all of that leading up now, like the way they frame Endgame with like the second chances line from the first Ant-Man, showing him coming out and being able to like give every, like all of the universe a second chance.
Oh, like it's deep.
There are all of these moments that I'm like, wow, they've actually, it makes me realize how great of a movie Quantumania can be, because I'm seeing these threads that I was aware of. It's not like any of the things I'm saying right now I never knew, but I just think I'm getting a different perspective on them, and I'm seeing what Paul Rudd and Peyton Reed and that team have created in the Ant-Man character. And I think I just, this special makes me so happy, because I hope that everybody, I feel like it's a perfect thing for people to see ahead of a movie like that, and just ahead of Phase 5, as we've kind of been having conversations about what Phase 4 has been.
It's also just fascinating to be getting all these third sequels, these third entries into the MCU from these individual projects, because Phase 4 was a ton of new, right? All new characters, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time we got a third, Spider-Man No Way Home, which you and I freaking loved and was a slam dunk. So while we're launching this new era of new characters, there are still other characters that are just closing their chapters. So how does Ant-Man Quantumania end? Like, is that the end for Scott Lang? Just like we talked about with Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So in the middle of launching these new characters, we still have these legacy characters going away. And honestly, if you look back at it, you're like, we loved No Way Home. We loved Ragnarok, both thirds, right?
Civil
and
War.
Now it seems like we're going to love the Guardians 3 thing, I think.
Yeah.
So how is this going to sit? Another closing of a chapter while others are being opened. Interesting.
That's a great point. And I'm so curious to see where it goes, because I don't know how much more they have in store for the Ant-Man character. Like they're obviously introducing Cassie as a hero on some level, and so that I say that because of trailer scenes that we've gotten. But I don't know if that's going to be, you know, like we've talked about all the kids and if there's going to be a passing of the torch moment, but
I don't think they're gonna kill him. I don't think he's gonna die. Scott's like a perfect character to just retire.
Yeah, I think so. He's not like Tony, where we were always like, how would Tony ever justify just stepping away?
Yeah, correct.
You know, because he's so integral to all of this. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that regardless, the only other thing I wanted to talk about, aside from just the kind of beautiful Ant-Man storytelling, is, wow, man, I have seen quotes from Kevin Feige and co. saying that they're just going all in on Jonathan Majors moving forward. And I'm just so down with that. Like, I'm watching this, and I think that Kang and his variants, however you want to look at it, I really think we could be looking at the best villain in the MCU by the end of this, just based on what we've gotten. Like, I just think it's been, we've talked about that last episode of Loki. I've, you know, obviously seen Jonathan Majors in plenty of other things, and
I was a little slow on the draw there. Sorry.
I have so much faith in him as an actor, and it seems like Marvel is willing to give him a lot. I mean, obviously we're moving towards a film called Kang Dynasty. And so
again, because I don't want to repeat myself, 100% agree. And you're talking to the guy who said, I've been wanting a Kang follow-up since Loki last July. So yeah, that is, like I said, we did a bold predictions episode. I think that's top of my priority right now, is I want to find out why Kang and Scott are interacting. I want more follow-up on Kang because the actor, because of the character, because of how they could differentiate his villain from other villains in the MCU, because I hope he stays around for a long time, or at least some variant. Like, yeah, it's probably number one for me in 2023.
Man, do you think that we will get Jonathan Majors in Loki season 2, which is coming out, next summer?
and I just thought about, I hope Christoph Beck gives him such a dope theme, and or I hope he plays off that He Who Remains song from Natalie Holt. Yeah.
That's what he needs to do.
Well, but the thing is, that's playing off the TVA theme. So, he could continue that for all of that. Maybe slightly tweak it for each variant. But
Beck is of all the composers that I would have faith in to do that. That would be 100%. That's WandaVision is just that over and over again. Like him finding ways to vary some of the same incredible themes.
Right. What did you ask me a second ago?
Whether Kang will actually show, or just Jonathan Majors will show up in Loki season 2.
Yes. Oh, but that's a fascinating question, because the obvious answer again feels like yes, but they could avoid it. You know what? Backpedal, rewind. No.
Wow.
No, wow. I think something's going to happen with him and Ant-Man. And it's just going to, again, they're just starting the bubbling in the behind the scenes here, because we have to make it all the way to what? 2025, right? Before he has a movie titled his. So like, they just got to get the seeds going, keep him out there. Again, that's the beauty of this. I think there's a scenario where this Kang is satisfied or defeated or something, but that doesn't mean that the next one doesn't come in even worse. And the next one, and that, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love that we have, like, I love the dramatic irony of us knowing the story behind Kang from the Loki finale, but Scott not necessarily knowing that. I mean, we won't know if he'll hear that or not, but like, so we know that this isn't the only one, you know, even if he, there are variants potentially, and which I, that also like,
and they probably won't do that same exposition for Scott that he did for Loki.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I know, which is, well, and it's going to be, it's going to be so fun. We already see it's a different character. Like He Who Remains was so, he had kind of gone crazy. He was quirky. And here it's much more intense, but it's so perfect. It's still the same character. Like I think Jonathan Majors is going to have a blast doing this, because it's the same core character, like the same way that, you know, like Benedict Cumberbatch is playing multiple Doctor Stranges and Multiverse of Madness. But I think with the ability for a lot more nuance, and I love the line at the end, the "you're out of your league" Ant-Man line, because it and it's perfect, because I think, you know, we get introduced to Kang as this sort of being, or He Who Remains, that's above all of reality and Loki. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we see him is in an Ant-Man movie, which like with we were Ant-Man, just saying,
exactly,
have it's always like, been what? The like, oh, this is kind of fun over here.
And that's what they do with Endgame too. It's so wild. He made two of the most like, hey, these are fun movies. And then, oh wait, you're the most central character to the time travel part.
Yeah.
Well, before Tony Stark, but like, to bring that idea via Ant-Man, to have Ant-Man be the one to walk out and see that, guys, I think we did it. And now here he's dealing with Kang. It's so funny. You never would have guessed that if I had asked, like, okay, in 2010, who's going to be the character that's dealing with all this stuff? You probably would not have guessed Ant-Man.
No, I mean, but I love it, because they're it's like that line says everything. I'm very, very excited for that one. I think I'm even more excited for that than Guardians, like you, I think, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But
I hope to be at the world premiere of that one. That's my bucket list item for 2023. All right, let's get into a quick update of our rewatches and an update to my trivia briefly after a quick word from these sponsors. Okay, so if you haven't checked out Friends From Work Plus, by the way, as we said earlier, we're really excited about a lot of stuff going on over there. Annika and I may be working up some a Star Wars episode, maybe.
Come on.
That'd be kind of fun. I'm doing a movie club episode tomorrow with a listener on Creed, which I had never seen any of the Creed movies or any of the Rocky movies before. So that'll be kind of a fun experience.
Never seen, not even the first Rocky?
None of them. So that'll be part of the discussion tomorrow, basically.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. So excited. That's coming up soon. And then I'm getting really pumped. You know how I love to do this? To mail these bad boys out.
Ooh,
it's the wow. artwork from season 3. Look how many I got chunks here. Look at this. I got chunks of them.
That's nice.
That I want to send from me to you, our new artwork. So if you're a Friends From Work Plus subscriber, now's a good time to sign up because you're going to get one of these in the mail before Christmas. That's my hope.
Man.
So as you can see, it's a lot of work to get them all packaged. So give me a little bit of time. But yeah, excited about that. So check out Friends From Work Plus. A lot of fun stuff going on over mm-hmm. there. Okay. As I've said so many times on this podcast, I went back and started over watching the MCU from ground zero, from the very, very, very ground floor. And I tried to put my mind in the correct mindset before starting each film. Like I turned off other distractions. I wanted to just watch the MCU as mm-hmm. if I'd never seen it. And mm-hmm. then I decided I'm going to make two fresh new lists. I'm going to have one list that is just, hey, this is my preference. Like I don't care what critics say. This movie is so easy for me to put on, or this movie, I just have a hard time being invested in regardless of how good it is. And that list can be kind of wild. And I don't want to be judged for that list. That's just for some reason, yeah. that's just a preference. And then I made a list of like, okay, if I didn't have any of those preferences, if I was just analyzing the film of it, what would a critic say? And I'm not finished yet. I'm 90% through Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I'm not going to include that in this ranking. That'll come next week.
Fair.
I got interrupted, which is such a bummer. But I'm going to finish that one. And I want to give you a little update to where I'm at. But first, let me give you an update on the trivia questions that people answered 2 weeks ago now. It's been 2 weeks because of Thanksgiving. So, trivia time. If you remember, Robbie, I asked from Black Widow, how many more seconds could Alexi the pig have survived without oxygen? Do you have a guess?
Three?
I need a buzzer. 11 more seconds is what it is.
Oh, okay. She's more generous than I remember.
Mm-hmm. In the famous waterfall battle, Eric Stevens, Killmonger, says he took lives in how many different areas specifically, I'm going to say. And it's in his famous speech, and this is what he says. I took lives in America, in Afghanistan, Iraq. I even took lives from my own brothers and sisters right here on this continent.
That's
so I'm saying
right.
four. That's the line you had to fill out. I know it's not a country because he says continent, but
yeah.
America, Afghanistan, Iraq, and this continent meaning Africa.
Wow.
So that was the answer to that one.
What a good line.
Then I said, with Spider-Man Homecoming, what time of day does he jump on the Staten Island ferry for the Gargan deal? It's 11 a.m.
Wow.
When they're going to do that.
Yeah.
So here is my question for today from Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it's going to be a very easy, different kind of question. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Here we go. True or false, Robbie? De-aging tech
mm-hmm.
was used on Lawrence Fishburne and his character whenever they're portraying the young version of Bill Foster. So there's flashbacks to him as Bill Foster
uh-huh.
like years ago.
Oh, man. See, I haven't gotten there yet in my in my rewatch.
True or false? De-aging tech is used.
Okay, so well.
Don't obviously answer. We'll right. save it for next week.
Wow. That's a great one.
It's a different, you have a 50-50 shot. So
yeah.
you might as well get your guess in. I'll send you a shirt if you're the first person to get it right. And then by last way of just updating the schedule side of things. So next week we are going to come back and reflect and rank Black Panther Wakanda Forever. It gives us mm-hmm. a little bit more time. Sorry for the delay on that, to get our rankings in.
Right.
And then the following week, the last Thursday episode before a Christmas break for you and I, and before season 4 kicks off and the Friendly Awards and all that,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be so much fun. We're going to do one just phase 4 wrap up, one phase 4 discussion. And I want to do that analytical exercise I've said before, where I take my rankings and give it a grade for each phase and just kind of see where we're at. But I wanted to end the episode today. If you've made it this far, congratulations. I wanted to end with an update to my rewatch. So as I've said, I'm through Ant-Man and the Wasp, Robbie. And should I do critic or preference first?
I think you should do critic first.
Okay.
Because I want to build up to the preference. That's the real money info here for me.
So we're not going to take a ton of time to do this, because at some point when I'm finished with everything, I'll get into it more specifically. I have, ready? Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. Number two, Captain America Civil War. Number three, Iron Man. Number four, Spider-Man Homecoming. Again, keep in mind, I haven't seen all the films yet. Just quick thing, like Iron Man, it ages unbelievably well. I know the villain is a little bit on the nose, but at the time, we hadn't had all the other villains to spoil that. Right. And obviously, you cannot put enough emphasis on what it meant for everything else and for film in general, honestly.
Right.
I mean, it literally helped kick off a phase of like 25 years of film.
Right.
You know, for other things too. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, I think, is like the least critiqued movie I can find.
Uh-huh.
And then Civil War, like right there neck and neck. So
yeah.
Homecoming 4, because I just think it does such a fantastic job of starting off that character. Captain America Winter Soldier 5. The Avengers 6. Black Panther 7. Okay. So despite the concerns I said in the last episode, still, because of what it meant and what it's doing and how well it does some of the things, right there at 7. Age of Ultron 8. So Age of Ultron has always kind of been the top of my, like, quote unquote tier 2, if you will. So Age of Ultron 8, Doctor Strange 9, Black Widow 10, lower than I would like it, but again, just critic. The first
Way higher than most people would have it, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it still has like 80-something percent Rotten Tomatoes, right? Like, I don't think 10 on this list where I don't have all the movies filled out is that low. You know, that will get kicked down a little bit.
Right.
The first Avenger 11, Iron Man 3, 12, Captain Marvel 13.
Okay.
Just critic.
Uh-huh.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, 14. Ant-Man 15. Again, I like Ant-Man. I think it's well done, but I think I like it mainly because of Paul Rudd. I think a lot of the peripherals in that movie are just okay. It's fun. Yeah. Don't take offense to that. And I love it. I love it because I have such a soft spot for Ant-Man. But I don't think critically it's doing anything like outrageous. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Iron Man 2, 16, Dark World, 17, Incredible Hulk, 18, and Thor, 19.
Wow.
I even think if you just remove preference, Incredible Hulk might be better than the first Thor.
Yeah.
Just because of some of the cheese. Now, here's where it gets really fun. And I'm going to end the episode with this. Don't judge me, please. Like, you don't judge me either. If everyone did this, everyone would have their own list, okay? This is removed from critic rankings. Just give me a break here.
The way I look at this personally is you can either go to a restaurant and get what is like this award-winning like $30 burger, which you know is going to be objectively great. And that nothing about that changes just because you also really love eating a Five Guys burger. They're both great. You know,
that's
like, and you're not saying the Five Guys burger is just as good as the other burger, but it's also okay to say that maybe you enjoy it more.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. Thank you for defending me. Appreciate you.
I'm with you.
This is fun too, because you haven't even heard these. That gets me really excited.
True.
I have not given you any indication. Number one, Captain America Civil War. So I think it's maybe just a millimeter more flawed than Guardians 1, but because it's dealing with Tony and Steve.
Yeah.
Like, number one.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, number two. Nothing shocking there. Ready for this? So far, again, I'm not done. Age of Ultron 3.
Wow. Love
just
that.
Preference. Like, I think Avengers 4, I think I'd rather watch Age of Ultron right now if I had to than the first Avengers, even though they're both in my top five so far. So far. Those will get bumped down because Endgame and Infinity War will be ahead of them.
Right.
Number five, Iron Man. So about the same. So Ultron's the first headliner here that's that high. Homecoming 6, that's about the same. Black Widow 7, so a pretty significant bump for me just preference-wise.
Uh-huh.
I talked about that last week. Ready for this? 8, Iron Man 2.
Wow.
Number 8 so far. I love it. Man. I love the dialogue. I love Justin Hammer. I love how quippy Jon Favreau and RDJR, like, mm-hmm. It's so easy to put on for me. I get it. It's like bottom tier in every other way, but here, Winter Soldier 9.
You let your freak flag fly, all right?
Iron Man 2 ahead of Winter Soldier at 9. That's probably painful for some people. Just preference, though. Just preference.
Yeah.
I like it. Ant-Man 10, a huge bump if I'm just talking preference.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange 11, that's about the same. Black Panther 12, a pretty significant, you know, knock down, but not terrible. Still right in the middle. Dark World 13. Dark World over all the rest of those at 13, which I think you might agree if you had to do this list. If you had to do a list like this,
yeah, I need to hear what's below 13.
Iron Man 3 at 14. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time, like, I have that movie higher in my rankings on the critic side. I have a hard time watching that movie over and over again for some reason. It's just, it loses a little bit of the Favreau, you know, something, sauce.
Yeah.
But I realize it's a better movie than Iron Man 2.
I think I would probably have a similar, every time I watch Iron Man 3, I think it bumps up a bit on the critic side, but I kind of see what you're saying. Like, I'm rarely craving watching that movie.
I think about when I go to Disney Plus, I scroll over to the movie I have to watch and I open it up and I have to hit play to actually start it.
Uh-huh.
I think to myself, how badly do I want to hit play on this? And sometimes, like Iron Man 3, it almost is like a chore. Like, I don't want to hit play on this, but it's like, I'm trying to do my rewatch, keep it consistent. And I'm not trying to be blasphemous. I just don't, like, my finger doesn't want to push the button.
But then once you get into it, I always get going. There are a couple of just great Tony moments. Like the moment when he, like, which you did for your trivia, like gives his address and breaks the guy's phone. Great Tony moment. Like, I think RDJ does some of his best work in that movie, which is why I think critically I give it a bump. But it's just that, it's a different deal. I see what you're saying.
Captain America, the First Avenger at 15, Captain Marvel at 16, Thor at 17. So I'd rather watch Thor than The Incredible Hulk again. I just don't think it's doing as much. Guardians 2 at 18, and last Incredible Hulk 19. So Guardians 2.
So Thor 1 over Guardians 2.
If you had to, gun to my head, if I had to watch a movie right now, I'd rather watch Thor than Guardians 2.
Wow.
The only movie I'd rather not watch again is The Incredible Hulk than Guardians 2. But I put it way higher on the critic list. I know it's better than that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that. I almost get no joy from watching it.
That's crazy to me because we'll talk about this. I'm not trying to be mean. But to me, it's just like the father-son moment, the chain moment. Like there are moments in that movie that really get me that I don't think work as quite. The Yondu death scene you've always said works for you. But I think, But you know what? The one thing I would be interested to see where Incredible Hulk would fall on your preference list if it were Mark Ruffalo. Because I think for me is it doesn't feel like the same universe, even like it is, but it doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't give me that like MCU feeling.
That's it. As I said last episode, I'm about to enter just this incredible phase. I'm enjoying Ant-Man and the Wasp and then Ragnarok, Infinity War, Endgame. And then I'm super pumped to get into the Phase 4 content again because some of that I haven't rewatched hardly at all, ever.
Yeah.
So excited to see how that fits now with our new watch order and all of that. So there you go. And I'll give one more final update once I'm done with all of it and those numbers will make more sense. But again, don't judge me.
I do want to say briefly as we're heading out, just because you mentioned it, I've been working behind the scenes figuring out what our final Phase 4 watch order is going to be. And I think we finalized it. I don't think we have time today to go through all that. But I think next time we chat, we can look at what Phase 4 is going to be now that we've got all of it. Like
be perfect. Cause I can be your guinea pig right when I'm getting there.
Oh yeah, true. So I think I'm really excited about it. I went back and forth on some things. It was difficult. It's obviously a totally different task to come up with a watch order while you're going through something versus what we did once the Infinity Saga was already over.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we've got Phase 4 over with, and now that we kind of know what's coming up next, mm-hmm. I feel really, really happy about where that's landed. So next time, that will be a big update on my end.
Oh, and I really have to go. I'm so sorry, listeners. I have to go. But we forgot a tiny bit of breaking news, right? Just really, really briefly, 90-second elevator pitch. We had MCU breaking news, right? This week we wanted to address.
Yes, that's right. Which I think will have to also be a discussion, which will make sense because we've talked about we want to have a phase four discussion. But I think what you're referring to is this rumor that is swirling around that since Bob Iger came back to Disney, which I don't I don't think we've recorded since then, another kind of crazy news moment.
Correct.
On a Sunday, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yep.
Crazy. Like he came in and they did the swap like on a random Sunday. And there have been kind of talks about retrospection on what Marvel has been since Iger's departure. And, you know, we've talked about a few things. Like, I know there were some stories that the situation with Scarlett Johansson and Disney, the lawsuit, would never have happened under Iger's watch. Obviously, we can't speak to whether that's true, but there have been little things along the way. And now we're hearing that Iger, or at least the leadership post his return, is looking at changing the approach at Marvel Studios. And the quote I've seen going around, which again, this is all a rumor, is quality over quantity. And that, you know, I think would look like maybe a, I have not seen reports that that means things are getting axed. So I don't think that we need to be concerned that projects are being canceled. I think what it means is things are being spread out some. We've already seen that a bit because I think what Secret Wars was already pushed back a bit from the original release date.
Well, and maybe how they assess beyond what's already announced too. Like it might not really affect it until 2025 maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think
Anything that's already filming, they're not stopping them from finishing it.
Right. Well, and something else that I heard that would be encouraging, I think, for everybody, although again, just a rumor. All of this is just a rumor, and some of it's takes on a rumor. But I have heard that there was more of a focus on budgetary restraints after Iger left than there had been prior to that, and that has been recognized as an issue, and that one focus is let's maybe in the quality over quantity front, maybe that also means like let's not focus so much on the bottom line and more on making the best product, and then recognizing that the money will follow that, which I think I've read things like this, I think, from Feige in the past, has always been the Marvel Studios philosophy of like, do whatever we have to do to get it right, spend however much money, take however much time, and then knowing that will come back in spades. And I think that the argument could be made, like we've talked about certain things feeling kind of rushed or not fully formed. Mm-hmm. And so you do wonder if that's been going on. I don't want to make Chopic the scapegoat for everything.
Right, correct. We don't know how, yeah.
But those are just some of the things that are being discussed out in the ether. So we'll talk more about our thoughts on that soon.
Yeah, let's do that in 2 weeks when we're doing the phase four discussion overall and we give the grades to all the phases. Let's do that. We can work that news and the watch order you're talking about into that episode, I think, as well.
I think that's perfect.
So like we said, next week, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, ranking and review. And then 2 weeks from now, phase four review. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to check out Friends From Work Plus. Check out Epic Hero Shop, our great sponsor. And we love you guys so much. We'll see you next time here on Friends From Work.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.